Hello, welcome to A Taste of Sex Reality Audio 2.1. For our new show, I'm joined by five new participants in our reality audio series. I have with me Greg, Sean, and Sasha, Amy, and Shara. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Thanks.
So one of the things I wanted to do was first, as an introduction to all the listeners out there, was just go around the table and just introduce yourself and tell us a little about yourself. I'll start with you, Shara.
Okay. Caught me off guard here.
That's okay.
Well, I moved into One Taste about, 5 years ago? And it was really a good place. It was really where I needed to be because I was living in a house not too far from here, and I was just unhappy. I was unhappy. I was working as an occupational therapist. The typical 9-to-5 thing, coming home and having difficulty, like not having a long-term relationship, and so always having this like unsatisfaction around sensuality and communication and not really knowing that there's something more out there, more that I could, like something bigger than myself, other than like all my energy was going towards being a better therapist. I didn't know what else was out there. And so when I moved into One Taste, I started to expand my horizon of possibilities, and mainly in the realm of sensation. So I started to feel more and be more connected to myself. And this like last 5 years, it's been a complete shift for me, where I'm so much more in contact with myself. And sometimes I kid about how poorly I used to communicate, and even though I'm not a great communicator now, it's like I could actually just say what I'm feeling.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Sasha?
I came to One Taste about a year ago, and I've never lived in. Currently, I'm living in East Bay with Sean and three other roommates. Sean and I started dating last December, and I'm currently in limbo between undergrad school and trying to figure out what the next step is in my life, and currently thinking about looking at midwifery schools.
Sean?
I just got out of the Navy last December and fell into Sasha and the whole One Taste thing, and just been converting back to civilian life ever since then. I had a long time where I was on vacation and found what I was looking for love life with Sasha, and then I'm starting school right now.
Fantastic. Greg?
I arrived here about a year and a half ago. And for the 15 years before that, my life pretty much consisted of going to work each day and then going home to my apartment by myself. And then about a year ago, I moved in here and kind of turned my life upside down in like the best possible way. And it was really about kind of putting myself in an environment where I was uncomfortable and where I kind of could stretch who I was and connecting with people in a much deeper way than I ever had before, and just filling this void that I kind of had inside of myself that was coming from a place of what I now understand just being lonely. And had a lot of friends and used to do a lot of things, but when it came right down to it, I was lonely, and now I'm in a place in my life where I'm not lonely anymore. <That's> to say the least.
Amy.
I started coming around One Taste in April. I am a massage therapist and a doula, and I teach at a massage school, and a student of mine had mentioned that she lived at One Taste. And I had heard a little bit about sort of mindful sexuality and the whole Omine concept from my roommate who had gone through that kind of work before. And so I was curious about it. And for me, what it really was for me is that I just sort of walked around feeling mediocre. Like, okay, when is my life going to take off? Like, when am I going to feel excited? And all of this passion that I feel, like, when is that going to really, like, explode? And I was having a fair amount of sex. I would, you know, like, I would, like, go through the boyfriends pretty frequently. And they would last, you know, a month, 6 months. You know, there were a couple that were, like, you know, 2 or 3 years. And it just never, like, you know, hit on all cylinders. And I just walked around feeling sort of desperate. So in coming here, I really have been able to start to look at how, what my responsibility is in that, and how I can really get what I want by asking for it.
Thank you. And for those listening out there, I'm your host, Sean X, and I will not give a bio, but you can read it on the website. So Amy, I actually wanted to stay with you. You mentioned you were a doula.
Yeah.
What is that?
A doula, the word is Greek for like a woman, like mothering the mother. So sort of a loose translation, but basically I work with laboring women who to provide emotional and physical support and basically coach them through the labor process, both while they're pregnant and then during the actual.
Great. And I actually want to stay with you because one of the things you mentioned was mediocrity.
Yeah.
And that you were going through boys and you just felt mediocre. What do you think you were waiting for?
Well, I was waiting for them to be amazing. Like, like I want you to bring all the turn on. I want you to like be really like exciting, and I want you to solve it all for me. And then they didn't, and then I would be like, oh, God, you're so pathetic. Or like, oh, you just want me so much. Like, stay away. Like, ugh. You know, and that was part of my own thing of, like, being scared that I was going to get trapped in something that didn't feel good and then responsible for him and me. And so I had a little bit of commitment issues there, too. But, yeah, I was really placing a lot on the other person.
Yeah. Well, Shar, you actually mentioned that a little bit in the intro, how you were unsatisfied in your life before you came here. And basically, how has the intimacy changed in your life now?
Well, sex is so much better. That's one thing.
how is it better?
It's better. Oh, my God. I used to, like, get off on just being with a guy, and he looked so good, and he was so cute, and his strong hands touching me, but I wasn't really getting off on sensation, so hence I, like, really never orgasmed, and I never really reached these really high peaks. It was always kind of like...
So it was the idea of being with the person more than it was the actual
being
with
the person?
It was more
like I would, like, watch movies and the such and be like, oh, my God, sex looks so amazing, and then, you know, I had moments of, like, these like heavy fucking that was like really good, but then I realized that I started this whole new practice here at One Taste and realized that there's this whole amazing range that you go to where your body tenses up and it's like this flooding of sensation through your body that it's actually a cleansing. It's really clearing, but it's really helps me to connect with another person when I'm feeling these sensations. But also conversation, talk is a lot deeper, better.
You were underestimating the value of communication.
There's like non-verbal communication and there's verbal communication. There's a lot of communication that goes on in a home, and then there's also the verbal communication. Yeah.
Okay. Sasha and Sean, I want to pick up something that you guys said in the intro. You're living with three other roommates right now. How does that affect your guys' intimacy with each other? You know, be it sex, be it other ways for you guys to connect.
It's makes it so we're always aware of other people around, but they're all very open, and you know, we've had sexual encounters where we've been very loud, and even one of our roommates' mothers was over at the time.
I was gonna be quiet that day.
Which was hilarious. But nobody really got up in arms about it. They just all thought it was funny.
And I want to pick up on another thing. I mean, you said you just came out of the Navy. And I'm wondering of the difference of transitioning from something that was so, what I would consider a lot more disciplined and structured, into something that's unstructured, like you said, reintegrating into civilian life, and how, like, what are some of the biggest challenges for you there?
The biggest challenges is definitely planning my days out. I mean, before it's just everything is told to me, and now I have college classes I have to deal with, and I have to make time for making dinner or doing my homework or pretty much anything. And sometimes I get lazy and I just don't want to do anything, and then I'll have this huge backlog of things that I have to pick up the next day.
I think, yeah, we're all familiar with that. Procrastination, I think everybody out there, everybody in here, it's something that, we just don't feel like doing it. So what do you guys, I mean, I'll open this up to everybody around the table. It's like, what do you guys do when you just don't feel like doing something? You're like, I'm just not feeling like this. Like, how do you approach that now? How do you approach that differently in life than you may have a year or two ago?
I personally am more intentional around my procrastination.
What does that mean?
You intentionally procrastinate?
Yeah, that's right. Like, you know, I say, I'm just not going to do this. Instead of, like, you know, sitting and moping and having all those negative thoughts that could take space in your head. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it, like, for instance, me making money this month. It was an intentional, like, I'm going to start today, and I started today. But last month, it was kind of like, I just didn't want to work, so I wanted to do other things.
Well, so you basically say, recognize the fact that you are procrastinating.
Yeah.
And say, like, okay, I'm owning my procrastination.
Exactly.
Right now. Okay.
I think for me, I'm just more aware of what I want to do versus what I don't, and like what is a should versus like where I'm actually excited and want to do that thing. And typically, like, the things that feel like a should are the things that I would procrastinate. And so sometimes that obligation is still there and I can't move past it. But when I can, it's really easy to be like, I just don't really feel like doing it. And then I can approach it from a way that does feel better, and maybe I do want to do it in that way. Or I just make a new agreement and I'm like, I'm not doing it like that. And I figure something else out.
Greg, you mentioned, oh, you're smiling over there. So you mentioned that you spent 15 years basically in the void, what you term as loneliness. And I think a lot of people will recognize that, you know, procrastination is an absolutely fantastic way to remain in the void. It's, you know, what you call the I should do, I will do, I'm going to do, instead of doing. You mentioned now, however, that you are sort of living more in abundance and you are not as lonely, but how has your life in other aspects outside of that changed because of that?
When you're happier and you, like, open up to people more, they respond. So it's not just about that I kind of live with, you know, 30 people or whatever the case may be, that's kind of is my cure for loneliness, that I'm always surrounded by people, because I've always been surrounded by people. But there's something about living a life where, kind of through Oming and the things that I've learned and things like that, that I've been able to open up and actually feel more and actually feel other people more and haven't been ashamed to divulge things about myself to other people. And people respond in turn, and it brings me closer to people. And that, I think, has been the cure for me for loneliness. It's not just spending time with people, it's actually spending really great time with people because I'm connecting with them and getting to know them.
I'm curious, Greg, if loneliness is an identity that you haven't completely given up and that you still, like, it's still a part of you, that you still find, I'm curious about that with you.
Yeah, I haven't given it up completely. I still procrastinate as much as I ever did. I still have my times where I kind of want to escape from people and I don't want to be around people.
How often does that happen?
Probably daily. At some point. But the interesting thing about it is that it's like I pull myself out of it more quickly than I have in the past. It was like I used to, like, I would wallow in it, and I'd almost, like, there would almost be like a addiction to the kind of good feeling of, like, ooh, I'm all alone and I get depressed and things like that. Mm-hmm. But now it's like I realize, you know, procrastination is just about fear. And I'll come to that realization and I'll kind of pull myself back into the present and say, okay, you're not doing this because you're fearful of something. And it might be different things from time to time. And then when that happens, I'm like, okay, now I actually want to go and be with people. And
I actually have a good story to relate here.
I knew you were going to have stories. Which one is this?
Oh, this is the one where I remember you when you were first here and first sort of getting involved in community, going to things like in-group, and you're sitting outside and we're talking. It's like, yeah, I'll do this in-group thing, but I'm not going to take any courses here. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, a month goes by, yeah. And then it's like Greg's coming out of a course and he's all glowy. It's like, well, yeah, I took a course, man, but I'm not doing that Oming thing. You know, they're freaking weird. So, you know, Then you see
they are freaking weird. I've been doing this for a year.
So then he's like, you know, then he starts oming, and he's like, yeah, I'm oming now, but I'm not going to move in. You know, I'm not going to move in community. I'm not going to live in community. And so you, all the things that you were holding on to at that point, and I've seen a lot of people. I did it. You know, there's a lot of other people that do it. You know, the things that I would hold on to, and I've told a lot of people this, and it's sort of a realization for me going through this work, was that I would always have these wonderful stories of keeping things crappy, okay? Because if I kept things crappy, then I had something to bitch about. Okay, this is crappy, and then I can complain about it. You know, I can't, if I actually went for what I truly desired and I got it, that would completely destroy my ability to just bitch about stuff. And I'm going through a situation right now where I'm living in such abundance that I have absolutely nothing that I can realistically complain about. And it's truly frustrating right now because I really can't complain about anything. And I'm such a good complainer that I would sit there and go, yeah, life is fine. I'm sorry. So I'm going to open it up to everybody now to sort of just respond. And what's one of the things that you desire that you don't think you're getting enough of in your life right now? And I will pick on you if you don't actually openly respond. And I'm going to pick on Amy because she's not looking at me.
Sex. Yeah, it's, I'm sort of rewriting, not sort of, well, I'm rewriting the way that I literally and figuratively do sex, and it's scary, and I really have to be with the sensation that I feel in my body, rather than what Shara was saying of like, you know, we would just do it, like, I would get off on this idea about it, and it wouldn't so much be about the sensation, it would be about, for me, the performance of it. And
like you were getting a scorecard at the end?
No. I was getting a scorecard the whole way through. And it's not about that anymore. And so really, like, just being with the sensation and, you know, being with whatever's there. And whatever's there lately hasn't been sex.
So how do you approve of yourself at those times? When it's your desire and you want more, but you may not know how to ask for it, you may not know how to go for it, you're dealing with your body, you're connecting more with your body and the sensations in your body, and then you're not getting what you desire. Right. It's like, so what are the stories that you create now because of that?
Well, I think the story that I'm really burning through is that, like, I'm so wrong, I'm doing it wrong, like, you need to do it differently, mm-hmm. and just really being with, like, I need to pay attention to the other person as well. Like, mm-hmm. I think in the past it was all about, like, okay, like, come on, like, here you are, and here I am, and, like, this is fun, and yeah, let's just do it. And, like, really being conscious of, like, being with another person, and that, like, I have a big energy, and it doesn't have to, like, lord over the other person all the time. So the stories, I don't know the stories that I'm telling myself about that, other than, like, just, like, trying to be patient with myself, and like, every time that story of, like, you're wrong and you should be different comes up, I really just recognize, like, you know what, I'm doing what I need to do to, like, burn this off.
Okay. Now, we're going to take a brief break here. This is Sean X with A Taste of Sex Reality Audio 2.1. We'll be back in a moment. And we're back with A Taste of Sex Reality Audio 2.1. I'm your host, Sean X. And basically, I want to pick up on something that Sasha said in the break. Basically, she said that I know her. She will start talking and stuff will happen. Make something happen, Sasha.
Well, we talked about fear and procrastination, and then we talked about desire kind of as two separate topics, but I think those kind of go together well for me. I have a fear not only of speaking my desire, but of admitting my desire to myself. And so I put up this block of like, well, I don't have a desire, or I desire things and I talk about it and that's enough. And I like don't really let myself be open to like feeling what the desires are. And the other thought I had about fear, I'm skating away from the desire question with fear. I'm bringing out the fear. Is that I really let my fear rule my desire around relationship for a long time, and I continuously set myself into relationships that I knew were not gonna pan out the way I wanted them to, because I thought I was going towards what I thought I wanted, which was a relationship with someone that looked a certain way, and I kept finding myself with men who couldn't follow through and weren't going to be there for me in the long run. And it was safe for me to be with those kind of men because then I could control the feelings that happened afterwards and know that, oh, well, I set myself up for that, and that that, you know, I could blame it on myself and then be in control of the emotion and like as it played out after the relationship was over and as I was like cleaning up the ashes of this, oh, I'm so broken again, and really lived in that for a long time. And I almost sort of skated around Sean because of fear, and knowing that he was really offering me what I wanted deep down and not realizing at the beginning. I gave him a hard time at the beginning. He says, I fell into Sasha, but I really gave him a hard time for a few months.
So describe, if you can, one of those, how you were giving him a hard time.
I mean, he sort of was like, well, let's get serious right at the beginning. And I was kind of like, no thanks. And he was like, well, maybe it'd be nice if we moved in together. And I was like, I don't think so. I'm not living with someone I'm dating. Are you joking? And here I am 9 months later living with someone that I'm dating and loving it and really, really happy in a way I sort of didn't know I was missing. And so grateful to Sean for reminding me that what was coming up was fear and reminding me that like that I could make it through the fear and see what was there and embrace it. And I'm doing that, and it's amazing. I'm so grateful.
Has it gotten easier to express your desire to him or for him to figure out your desire?
Yeah, I think I'm really honest and really open with Sean about exactly what I want with our relationship and in other regards. And I think that it's helpful that we both really want the same things and we're really aligned, and that's where we are now. And I'm open to whatever happens in the future, but we're just in each day and really living in the moment, and it feels really good.
Now, I wanted to play off that and ask Sean a question that I had asked earlier that Amy answered about a desire, because you brought up the topic of desire again, that you know you may have had that sort of you haven't been able to express.
So. Well, taking everything that Sasha just said and flipping it over. first of all, everything she said is true, and I am having a great time. But one thing that I have been feeling a need for is what I refer to myself as the new girl smell. Like, when you get a new car, it's a new car smell. You know, a new girl is a new girl smell. And it's like this excitement of doing something new,
so
of learning something new.
There's so many places I can go with that.
And, I mean, it really applies to every part of life, not just with women. You know, I'm really into mountain biking, and there's, like, that first time you go down a new road or that first time you go down a new trail. And, you know, doing something exciting, being somewhere new and exciting, it's just something that I haven't been getting a lot of lately just because I'm so concentrated on what I've been doing with Sasha and with my life.
So how do you think, I mean, you're mentioning it here now, but like, how do you think if that didn't change? Like, what's your expectation of change around that for the both of you?
We've had a few conversations about something similar to this, not exactly this. And I mean, we're going to do some traveling, which is going to be something new. And we've had some situations involving, you know, just going out to a club and I'll like go dance with other people and just get that sensation of doing something that I don't know what the outcome is going to be. And, you know, there's some jealousy that comes up, but overall it really feels good and it's a way for me to get an outlet for these things.
I think you really hit on a topic that many of the people listening can definitely resonate with. I mean, especially, and we've all been there, and Amy, you mentioned it with, you know, the relationships that will be like 2 years, 3 years, and the sameness patterns that develop, that you get into something, like you say, the new girl smell, and there's this excitement, there's this enjoyment of the unknown, and after a while everybody's like, you get to know the person better, you basically feel like you know everything about them. So what do you do to keep new in there, because people are infinite, and sometimes we let ourselves believe they're finite, you know, we let ourselves believe that, oh, they don't want to do this, so I'm not going to do this, and so we start to minimize ourselves in a relationship with the other person, and then all of a sudden neither of the people are dating the person that they want to date. And both people know it, and both people are not the people that they want to be in the relationship. So I think that's sort of a common failing. And
it could happen either way.
It could happen, yeah.
It strengthens the relationship or they grow apart.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's something I think everybody out there can relate to. And you guys are great for recognizing it really early and just saying, hey, let's try some things. Let's do some things. Let's really get out there and sort of be together, recognizing that even though some of those things may cause situations where it's going to be jealous or cause situations where it's going to be something that the person may not want to go into again. Because I think when we start to get in relationships, we start to have these acquisition issues. You know, I think our culture is designed around acquisition, that, you know, I want to acquire that person. I want to got them. And then once you have them, you want no one else to touch them. It's like you own this thing. And, you know, we just all fall into patterns. Like, I'm going to do a couple word association for people here. If you heard oming earlier, it refers to orgasmic meditation. That's the sensuality practice, meditative practice here at One Taste. And that tumescence, when we refer to tumescence, it's that internal pressure that you actually get in your body. And one of the things that we talk about increasing tumescence, it's like increasing that excitement, internal pressure, and that sort of what we call turn on. That, and jealousy is one of the things that really does activate that. All of a sudden we are like lulled into sleep, blah, 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 and then bam. And if like you see something that makes you jealous for the other person, it's like instantly your whole body rockets up and your pressure increases out.
Right.
So, and it was interesting that you mentioned that jealousy actually increases the sensation in your body, which it does, but how do you think, because most people out there, I think, definitely view it like you did. It's wrong, it's something, I shouldn't be jealous, these are feelings I'm trying to get rid of. But how have you all constructively used jealousy, not in a vindictive way to the other person, but in a playful way with the other person?
There's been so many times where I kind of liked a guy and I wasn't sure. And then as soon as another woman starts putting attention on him, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I missed my ticket here. And I get so, this jealousy heats up, and then that value of that guy goes up so much for me. And I keep learning about that. And when I see relationships that feel kind of dead in the sex, dead in the, you know, the intimacy, and what you're talking about where you're like, it's just the sameness. Like any time you want to rock the boat a little bit, ups and downs and excitements and roller coasters, jealousies, it's not a good or bad thing. It's just a way to move the sensation and move the energy.
That's a new thing for me to consider, that it's not a good or bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I'm like, oh, I don't let myself be jealous. Well, it happens naturally. I don't let it flow through me because I'm like, ooh, that's bad. Like keep that one locked away because it just seems like...
What do you think would happen if it gets out?
Well, my like sort of like I wouldn't get what I want. Like I think I have this tight control. It's loosening. It's definitely loosening. But what I've become aware of is that I have this really tight control on how I allow people to see me, or how I think I'm allowing people to see me, and that I don't let the jealousy out because I'm afraid of how ugly it is, and that if I did, I don't know, like, it would be chaos. It'd be nasty, like, I wouldn't be this, like, I wouldn't look the way I should look to that other person, and then they probably wouldn't want to be with me.
But don't you think that you, if you're not looking the way you're supposed to look, that perhaps you're not looking like yourself? I mean, that if you use that as an excuse, that, like, I feel like I have to feel the jealousy, and mm-hmm. it's so important to me to whatever the feeling is that comes up, but, like, I'm doing myself such a disservice if I ever don't feel a feeling that's, like, bubbling up in my stomach and my chest.
Well, I think that's probably the majority of the reason why, like, I went through so many, like, failed relationships, because I wasn't really being my whole self. I mean, it was definitely still being myself, but I wasn't allowing the full range of feeling to come through because I thought I had to be, like, this really controlled, like, be a certain way. And so I only let one fraction of myself out. And yeah, and then I would, you know, I would lose interest, or I would get antsy, or I would want him to, like, fix it for me.
Yeah, I was going to share with you one of my favorite definitions that I learned from somebody who is a former one taster is jealousy is turn on plus exclusion. And if you can let yourself feel included in the experience, that sometimes the jealousy shifts, and that maybe you still feel like, oh, I'm having this, like, heat or this tumescence in my body, mm-hmm. but it was because I was feeling excluded that it felt negative. And if that partner can share with me what came up for them and what kind of sensations were going on with them and an experience with another person, mm-hmm. that then I can share the experience and get closer to who they are.
So excluded from the situation that
whatever
that
experience
made you
that you
feel
felt
jealous
about, or
okay.
the other woman that was putting attention on them, and just, like, get into the experience by hearing, even if it's hard for you to hear. I mean, I learned this through very difficult trial and error.
I think for me what it comes down to is really being fully seen. And it's the thing that I crave so much. It's why I ultimately found fault with all those men, because they couldn't really see me. And I so resonated with what you said about, like, I was picking these guys that I knew really wouldn't bring me what I wanted. I was doing the same thing. Like, well, maybe, like, I don't know, like, we can figure it out, maybe. And ultimately it didn't. And I just lost my train of thought.
So I'll pick it up for you. So basically, you weren't showing your full self. Mm-hmm. And then you were blaming them for not seeing you.
Yeah, I mean, I would set up these situations of, like, well, I mean, he's cute, and he's good in bed, and he's like this, this, and this. But
The list. We all love the list.
But there was this underlying current that I would know from the get-go, like, he's just not going to see me, or he's not going to have that full range of feeling that I want. But I would go into it anyway because I, you know, whatever story I was telling myself, that it wasn't possible.
I could relate to a lot of what you're saying, because I had a similar story. And I think my experience has been, one thing I've learned is how much I try to hide parts of myself, like discarded parts of myself I'm shameful from, or that conflict, like my freedom versus my security, and my being the good girl for my parents versus being I don't want to even say it on
being
yeah.
the slut.
He said it. and so one thing I've been working on is actually all these parts are me. So, like, I am these, like, dorky, I am these, like, you know,
yes.
We don't really need to.
So that's what I'm starting to get now, is like,
yeah.
Oh, people don't want to be with that, like, categorized woman. They want everything that I am.
Yeah.
And how amazing
do.
It does feel. Like, sort of like I start to feel in, just like I'm including myself in my life when I feel it all. And when I'm like, I'm really angry right now. Like, I'm so afraid that I'm going to get slapped away if I tell somebody how I really feel, that...
You would look so sexy angry.
Have you seen me angry?
I could just imagine.
Thanks.
Yeah. That would be the real you. I mean, that
totally.
Is so the real you. Like, I can feel it.
But, like, what would that person do if I was like...
They would be like, yeah, this is who I am.
No,
she
they'd be
fight.
Like, I can't take your shit. Go away.
I'm going to speak
for... Depends on the guy.
Yeah, it depends on the guy. And I'm going to speak for a lot of guys out there that, you know, when confronted by that and when women really do bring their full turn on, we overwhelmingly have a tendency, poorly, to run away because we are frightened and we are scared and, you know, we're all these other things that we've been taught that a woman shouldn't be, or we've been taught, or we're too scared to face in ourselves. And, you know, I'm sitting here talking with five other people who are very open about discussing these topics. And a lot of people out there listening are, you know, they'll have these thoughts internally, but the concept of actually manifesting it and actually having connection, having relationships like that with other people is, I can never have that, and they think they can never have that. So I sort of wanted to end this show literally asking everybody around here, basically, how do you speak to people that aren't involved in this, and what do your friends think about what you're doing and about how you're changing the way that you engage in relationships and other people? And I wanted to start with you, Greg.
I'm actually going to start with, and I'll talk about my friends, but I want to talk about my parents first. Because I remember when I first told my parents about what I was doing and everything that was kind of going on in my life, and one of the things that they had noticed was that, you know, I had been calling more often, and that when I saw them, I would actually hug them in a deeper way and actually longer. And in a way, you know, people just see the benefits of what's going on. And that's kind of hard to refute when they're actually seeing it in action. So, you know, it's when you kind of lay that kind of foundation and people see the kind of fundamental changes that are happening in you, I find people get it. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, that's great for you, but, you know, I wouldn't be so good for me. I can never do things like that. And we all have our own...
I remember you were the...
I was that person. In a lot of ways, I still am that person. But it's... everyone has their own resistances to it, but I was amazed at how open-minded people are just because they've seen how much I've changed and the benefits that come with this kind of life I'm living.
Sean, Sasha?
I think one of the bigger things I took from being involved in One Taste is this idea of brutal honesty. And I've definitely brought that to my friends and my family. And I think I've been received pretty well. I mean, I stick to my guns most of the time, even if they don't really want to hear it. And it's actually helped a lot of my relationships. And, you know, friends that I have unspoken things with, they get spoken, and then it's gone. And it really improved things.
I want to hear what Sean has to say about women with a lot of emotion, but we don't have enough time to hear that.
We have five more shows.
I guess my parents received the work I was doing here very well, and they both actually came to an in-group and had a lot of respect for what I was doing. I was able to share my oming practice with them. I talk about my oming practice with them, let's be clear. And I actually had a harder time sharing what was going on with my friends because they were really quick to make judgments. And I think even when I packaged what I was saying into a clear, concise sort of
societally safe container.
Thank you. human walking dictionary over there. Safe container. They couldn't digest it, and it was too hard for them. And oftentimes, even when I felt like I was just sharing what was good for me and why my life had jumped into such something so different and, like, really helped me sort of get some fire under the changes that I needed to see in myself, that they sort of felt like my sharing was asking them to come do it too. Even though that was never the intention behind it. Yeah. So that's been challenging, that, like, I can't even share the experience without people feeling like they've been preached to.
I had this earworm running through my head about anger still, so just really quickly that...
Oh, by the way, in the community here, an earworm is something that you just have to get out before you do anything else.
Otherwise, it's going to be in my head.
Otherwise, it's going to be in your head. It's like that song you get in your head and you just can't get it out.
Yeah. There's one thing, like, if you're spewing anger all over the place, trying, like, having this sensation and getting out, that's not taking, like, responsibility, and there's a lot of stuff that's layered over it, stories and stuff. And so, and that, yes, that will divert everybody in the opposite direction. You know, but when you reach that point that you burn through and you get to the true essence and the true anger, the true sensation of anger, just like the true sensation of sadness, just like there's a time and a place for every sensation. Well, my friends are actually pretty cool. They think it's neat living in like a human laboratory where we get experiment and learn about people and research people. And for the most part, they're okay with it. My parents on the other side, they don't understand why I'm not married and have two kids. And they, after 5 years, they still don't understand.
Amy?
My friends are pretty open to it as well. I'm open with them about, you know, how I'm unfolding and what I'm doing. My family, I'm not really close to my family. And so they don't know much about my life.
I think that's a topic that we can delve into in a later show. This is Sean X signing off for One Taste, A Taste of Sex Reality Audio 2.1.